We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 465. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Fenech. Thanks for joining us today. So how was your spring break, Scott?
It was fantastic. We did nothing, which is the way I like it. Sit around the house, get some projects done, family time, relax.
I'm with you. I didn't take the week off, but, you know, someone had to work. But
not me.
You know, but I definitely enjoyed what I could of it. But I guess we better dive in here because, holy smokes, we got a lot of news here. It's, you know, with the emergence of AI, and we didn't even cover much AI in this script we have today, but I don't know. There's just enormous amounts of information. I mean, that alone could be its own show. It's just overwhelming. But let's just start off with some sort of non-SEO news. Google Analytics. Some big changes are finally coming to, well, are going to be a part of our lives right now. So what do you want to run with here?
Yeah, so we've known for a long time that Google Analytics 4 is replacing Universal Analytics. They stopped recording data in UA about a year ago or so. I guess it was around summertime they stopped. But this is just sort of a friendly public service announcement that as of July, I think it's July 1st, but the beginning of July at the very least, any Universal Analytics data you have in that account will no longer be accessible and will be deleted forever. So I just wanted to make sure people remember that if you haven't already done this, you've got to, you know, it's not a panic mode yet, but you've got a couple months to find a way to back up all your data if you want to have access to that data, which you probably do. Most people, I think, probably want that data archived somewhere. And so there are a few ways to do it. If you are using Analytics 360, you can use BigQuery to export that data. And I've got a link to Google support that'll be in the show notes to help you find that. But you can also just Google it, you know, BigQuery export for Analytics. You'll find it pretty easily. If you do not use Analytics 360, which is probably most people listening, you don't have a lot of options. You basically have to export your data into CSV, TSV, Excel, Google Sheets, or PDF. Probably not PDF. You can't manipulate much of that. So I would pick CSV or probably Excel or Google Sheets would make the most sense. And how to do it is, unfortunately, not super easy. Really, Google should have set something up with a click of a button and you just download it and they should have handled this for us. But what you have to do is you have to open up the report that contains the data that you want to back up. And then you have to export that report like you might have anyways before. And that's just like very painful. So near the top right corner, I believe, is where the export button is, kind of near the report title. Click export, select your format, and download that. And that's what you've got. That's the only option you really have, which is terrible. There are a couple notes that you should have here, and that is when you export that data, Google is only going to export what you can see on that screen. So if you've got, you know, your 10 top 10 referrers showing, for instance, you're only going to see the top 10. So make sure you expand your data to show, I think 1,000 is the limit or something like that, to show all of your sources, the maximum number of results possible, and set your date range to be the maximum possible. So, you know, if you remember when it started, just select that as your starting date, you know, or just put in January 1st, 2000 until today, and you should get everything. Pain in the butt, hopefully, like maybe more so for us because we've got a lot of them to do for clients. But if you're only dealing with one business, it's not so bad. It shouldn't take you too long. Just make sure you find the data that you want and export that. And good luck going through Google Sheets or Excel to find what you need in the future.
Well, and also keep in mind that, I mean, based on my experience, any large Excel sheet is a memory hog when you try to open it. So you're going to have to be very careful when you open up those Excel sheets, or at least you're going to have to expect them to crash if they are that full of data, unless you have a really powerful machine with lots and lots of memory. Now, we make sure ours do because we do all this work all the time. But the average computer, I don't think is going to have much fun opening those. So do keep that in mind.
If we opened up on my daughter's laptop, I'm sure most sites' analytics data is just going to crash it.
Yeah.
Because you could end up with tens and tens of thousands of lines of data in there. Like, it's crazy.
If it's formatted, if it's an if you try and format it. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anyway, it's important that you do it. I think maybe it would be a good idea to maybe put together an article on just some of the main aspects of what should be done. Did it give you any info on that in that?
There was very little information. The only, and I just found the Google Help docs on how to do that. And those links will be in the show notes. I haven't gone really down the rabbit hole in great depth on what we need to be extracting. So we're going to get on that pretty quick. And I'm going to discuss with our analytics guy, Nathan, what he thinks we should grab and how to do it. And it would be helpful, I think, in the next couple episodes, maybe not the next one, but the one after, perhaps, talking a bit more about this one, exactly how to do it and what you should grab.
Just for now, we'll make sure we put something together. It's pretty important stuff. And frankly, I imagine 99% of our listeners don't want to have to think about it. If they're going to do it themselves, they want someone guiding them. So I'm sure we'll put together a good list for you. On another note, so there have been some Google ad suspensions, and they put together a report. I think they do this every year.
They do, yes.
Ad safety report. And they said that they blocked or removed 12.7 million advertiser accounts due to policy ad violations in 2023. That's double what was in 2022. They blocked or removed 5.5 billion ads. 206 million of which were for misrepresentation, 273 million for violating financial services policies, 1 billion for abusing the ad network, including promotion of malware. Well, that's comforting. blocked or restricted ads on more than 2.1 billion publisher pages. That malware one still sticks in my mind. It, you know, how many did they miss that are using their ad network? That's so frightening.
Isn't it terrifying?
Anyway, God, these malware guys, the gall. I mean, wow. I've been kind of impressed in a way, horrified too. But Google is using AI to help stop these quote bad actors and identify fraudulent accounts before they get implemented and used in their ads. So that's good. Of course, now all the ad guys are going to be using AI to circumvent the AI.
So, AI wars.
Yes, it is. It is. It has begun. Cue the Terminator soundtrack.
I really wanted to include this info because it really showcases how staggering the ad network is. Like, this is just what's being blocked. I don't know what the numbers are because we don't talk about pay-per-click a lot on SEO 101. Just every now and then there's bits and pieces. But like, how many advertisers are there? How many ads are served? I want to look at those numbers next. But it's insane.
I love your note here. Maybe Facebook will do this someday. Wouldn't that be nice? Facebook is a dumpster fire of bad ads.
I'm getting so mad at Facebook. Can I rant for like 1 second here? 10 seconds of rant?
Of course.
Facebook, I hope you're listening. So I keep seeing ads for casinos on my Facebook feed. One of them is our local casino here in Courtenay on Vancouver Island. They don't have an online gambling platform for the local casino here. Like Canada's very strict on gambling, but yet there's an ad for them. And then if you click on it, don't click on it. But if you hover over whatever the link is for something stupid like gambling, 123.here.net.slotmachine.com/blah, blah, blah. You know, like it's like, it's so obviously a scam. Like it takes no brain power at all to figure out that it's a scam. And I keep seeing these over and over and over again for all these different casinos. And every single time I report them to Facebook as a scam, and every time Facebook comes back to me, this ad does not violate our policies. And it's driving me bananas because it's not like a maybe scam. It's blatantly obvious to anybody that even looks at where that link is pointing. It's so obvious. And they either don't care, they don't try to care, they just look at the paycheck coming in. And I'm ready to delete my Facebook account because of it. But because of so many of you SEO 101 listeners on our Facebook, I can't delete it. So
yeah,
it's your fault.
Well, and the other thing too is on Facebook, you see a lot of celebrities that are supposedly sponsoring or supporting a product, and they're nothing to do with it. I've seen ones with Ryan Reynolds. I know he's not supporting this stupid soap or whatever. It's just, it's totally the Wild West, and it's disgusting how Facebook doesn't seem to care. On top of that, there's been a lot of, and I don't want to get into this rant, but it bears mentioning that there's a lot of horrible things happening in terms of child abuse, based through, you know, people contacting kids and doing horrible things to these social networks, and they're not being held accountable for that. That all has to be changed. So there's a lot of things they got to be held accountable for, and I can't wait until they are, because they got out of hand and they're just making money hand over fist at our expense. It's not cool. All right. This is interesting. I hadn't seen this about YouTube.
Yeah, we don't talk about YouTube a lot either. It's a little bit outside of our scope, but I found this pretty interesting. So the YouTube product lead, Todd Bopri, maybe?
Right.
I think it's probably right. Is advising YouTubers to not delete videos unless you have a very good reason to do so. For example, they're just really bad, and that was in quotes, really bad, or they're harmful in some way. Deleting or hiding videos you're not happy with removes your channel's connection to those viewers that have seen that video, which results in lowering your overall channel ranking, which it seems totally obvious when you think about it, but it's not really something I've thought about before. He had posted this to Twitter, and I'll just read his Twitter post. He says, YouTubers, don't delete videos unless you have a very, very good reason. When you delete a video, you delete your channel's connection to the audience that watched that video. If you want to maximize your growth, keep your videos public or unlist them if you must, but don't delete them. So
okay,
keep them existing, or you lose that connection. You're going to, you know, the algorithm won't love you as much.
All right. And here's another public statement. It's important. Anyone who is using the Beaver Builder WordPress page builder, I can say that fast.
Never heard of it.
really? Oh, I have. It's a gigantic platform. It's just like almost as big as Divi, if not bigger.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
And they have a pretty significant vulnerability in it that allows hackers to get in. It's a rated 6.4 out of 10, which is not something you smirk at. A medium level threat. It says attackers must gain at least contributor level permission levels in order to be able to launch an attack, which, by the way, is not very hard to get, especially with the appalling level of security some people set their passwords at. Anyway, this vulnerability is easy to exploit if you get access. Otherwise, it's a little more difficult. Just be aware, it's completely across the board. Every single Beaver Builder plugin that hasn't been updated has this issue. So make sure to keep your WordPress sites updated. In fact, we saw this as such a big issue. We now have that service for all our clients that have WordPress, which are most of our clients, and we maintain that for them. We constantly update their everything on their site, and then double check everything's working afterwards, which, by the way, you better do, because if you update a builder, update anything on your in WordPress, it's possible it could break something. and you won't even know unless you go and test, especially test your forms.
Yeah,
I've seen forms break and people lose a lot of leads. In fact, another thing we've implemented over the years is we constantly check forms for our clients. We run them and say, hey, we're sending in a test, and we just do tests regularly. Because if those things break or anything, again, that's business down the hole. So if you check your form and find out that it's not working, just because we mentioned it today, there you go. It's been worth every second listening to us. Gotta make sure we make an argument for listening to the SEO 101 after all.
That's a good reason. That's lost business for not listening. You're being punished, essentially, if you don't listen. Sort of.
All right, finally, into some SEO news. The March 2024 core update is continuing. So what's going on?
Yeah, so the update started March 5th, along with a spam update as well, which I don't have notes on here, but there you go. There's also a spam update. And it's still going. So we're about a month in. Today's April 3rd that we're recording this, and they're still rolling it out. This update is primarily focused on spam and low quality content and is more extensive than usual core updates. So Elizabeth Tucker, Director of Product for Search at Google. It makes me think I need a longer title. I need to work on that. I need at least 10 words in my title. We're going to work on that.
We can make it happen.
Nice. She said, we're making algorithmic enhancements to our core ranking systems to ensure we surface the most helpful information on the web and reduce unoriginal content in search results. We believe these updates will reduce the amount of low quality content in search and send more traffic to helpful and high quality sites. Based on evaluations, we expect that the combination of this update and our previous efforts will collectively reduce low-quality, unoriginal content and results by 40%, which is significant. And it comes down to what we keep saying over and over and over again. Build good quality content and you'll be fine. All these updates, all of them. If you've got quality content, you're going to be in good shape. If you don't, you're at risk to updates like this, especially now they're targeting low quality. But they're also cracking down on expired domain abuse. So Google is updating their spam policies to target the abuse of expired domains, which is essentially the practice of purchasing expired domains and then reusing them often to host ample low-quality content for the purposes of ranking. So I'm glad to see those go down, because how often do you type in the wrong domain and you get totally irrelevant stuff? It's everywhere. Everyone's seen it. So I'm surprised they're just cracking down on that now, to tell you the truth, but better late than never, I guess.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion around the types of websites that they've been nailing. And a lot of them, of course, not all, because there's a myriad of spam out there, types of spam and different ways they've done it. But the people who have created sites specifically using AI without anything else, I mean, and it's easy to do, by the way, there's generators out there that'll generate 1,000 page websites, no problem, over the course of a night. You just press start with put in some information, press start, and it'll churn them out. They were doing exceedingly well for months and probably making money hand over fist. And that's what you get if you're an early adopter and you don't mind taking serious risks, because it's serious, since those websites are now toast. And the domain that they're connected to has a bad mark, you know, so lots of danger there. And you just have to expect that if you're going to try it. But those ones have gone downhill. And I'm sure they were done in a calculating manner, knowing that they would at some point get toasted. But they made money. And that's what it comes down to in these days. We're going to mention it again a bit later probably, but can't reinforce this enough. Make sure that you create content that has expertise in it that's unique to you. That's why creating content in areas that you aren't really an expert in is just pointless, because you're really just regurgitating content that's already been done by other, frankly, lackluster writers. They can make it look good, make it sound good, but if the stuff is really just spouting out the same information, it's not going to garner that much interest. And it just looks like weak content to Google. And they're getting better at determining that. They can spot the content that has just been regurgitated. That's what they're going to be working on this next year, is getting far and far better at, trying to think of the analogy, I guess it's wheat from the chaff, anyway, they're going to be looking for all the stuff that...
As digital professionals and business owners, we understand the critical importance of a secure and high-performing website. That's why I want to talk to you about Kinsta, a managed WordPress hosting provider that delivers exceptional speed, security, and reliability. Kinsta's infrastructure is optimized for WordPress, ensuring your site loads lightning fast and ranks well in search results. They utilize Google Cloud's premium tier network and CD3 virtual machines, which significantly boost performance. In fact, Kinsta customers often experience up to a 200% increase in site speed just by migrating to their platform. Security is paramount, and Kinsta provides enterprise-grade measures to protect your valuable data. They are one of the few WordPress hosting providers with SOC 2 certification, guaranteeing the highest level of security for your website. Kinsta's My Kinsta dashboard offers a user-friendly interface with a comprehensive suite of tools to manage your site efficiently. From cache control and debugging to redirects and CDN setup, My Kinsta simplifies website administration. For SEO 101 listeners, Kinsta offers specific advantages. Their platform is optimized for speed, a crucial ranking factor in search engine algorithms. Their security measures protect your site from malware and hacking attempts that could damage your online presence. And their expert support team is available 24/7 to assist with any technical issues that may arise. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
That is actually written by an expert. So if you're going to use AI, make sure that you put your expertise into it. And it's got some real value. And it'll work out. All right. Microsoft's Fabrice Canal. I'm going to assume that I didn't completely butcher that. Probably a bit. Says that SEOs don't realize Bing search usage. So this is on SE Roundtable, Search Engine Roundtable, and Fabrice says Bing usage extends beyond what many search engine optimizers may realize. If you zoom in, there have been notable trends to consider as the market share of desktop search engines in the United States since 2019. This is unquote. Pardon for the grammar, but it's a quote. Anyway, he links to a chart where on StatCounter that shows that the desktop search market share for the U.S. has Bing at over 17% of the share, with Google at 76%. This sounds all grand and stuff, and it's accurate, but you got to remember, desktop is comparably quiet to mobile. Now, if we look at mobile, Bing is only 1.27% since 2018. So he's definitely cherry picking his positive results. I don't, you know, that's not to say what he said isn't true and has some interesting aspects to it. I mean, desktop still has a fair bit of traffic, don't get me wrong. And 17% is nothing to smirk at. But the dramatic difference between the two, mobile and desktop, I mean, wow, it's huge. And for a more timely stat in North America, or I guess a more accurate stat, is in Bing had just 1.13% of all mobile results in the past year, according to StatCounter. Anyway, I don't know if you have a Windows machine or not, listeners, but or you've downloaded Edge or anything on any of your computers or your phones, but you've probably noticed that it's pretty sneaky and attempts to push Bing on you. You know, try to switch your primary search to Bing. Well, despite all that, its market share is still just a pittance. Sorry for BJ, it's not looking good. Hoping it will grow. I would love it. I don't even care if it's Microsoft. Grow, take over some of Google's. But for now, it's just not there.
In fairness, so as mobile dies out and more people drive to desktop search, it should be helpful, right? is that happening?
Yeah. When AI is just a fad and all that.
Like now we don't need cell phones anymore.
No. Yeah. Cell phones are totally a fad. Yeah.
Be Googling for my Commodore and my yurt. Binging, not Googling, sorry.
Binging, yes, of course, All right. Google crawling priorities. What's this all about?
Yeah, so Gary, I always say his name wrong every
Yeesh.
Single time. Eesh. Said in a LinkedIn statement recently that Google is essentially working, or he wants Google to work to crawl fewer pages and reduce data consumption. He said, if you want to increase how much we crawl, then I kind of totally skipped over something here. Essentially, they want to use less resources and crawl less of the web. And he said, if you want to increase how much we crawl on your website, then you somehow have to convince search that your stuff is worth fetching, which is basically what the scheduler is listening to. So as Google, hopefully, according to what Gary wants, reduces how much of the web they're crawling, if you want them to stay on your site and keep crawling your website, you have to do what Ross and I have been telling everybody to do forever, even earlier in this very podcast, and that is focus on high quality, relevant, engaging content, keeping content fresh and current, which is actually something we don't talk about all the time. You know, make sure if there's, you know, changes in your technology, in your niche, if things are changing, just keep that updated. Don't let things get stale. Address emerging trends and topics, things like that. And of course, as always, keep a clean site structure with robust internal linking. All basic 101 stuff that I know every single SEO One listener does because they know better. But, you know, if you're one of the off people that don't, you know, get creating that good content again. But I know some people might see that, hey, Google's going to crawl less. This is going to be bad. It's only going to be bad if you have bad content.
Or just, yeah, if your content is stale and there's no reason for it to come back, I think it's a good idea. Why not? It's probably saving a ton of power and it's better for the environment, all in all. Seems weird, but it's true. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something kind of perplexing.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Remember all, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. That's where you don't have to miss a single link, and you can refresh your memory of a past show at any time. We do a lot of work on that, and I think it's pretty valuable, so I hope you like it. All right, so let's jump into something perplexing. I just couldn't resist. So Perplexity is a AI. Well, let me just jump in it. The title of this is 60% of Perplexity citations overlap with top 10 Google organic results. This is our section on AI. It's a big enough of a topic that this one that I just decided that's all we're going to put in. Although I could put in 20 more articles. There's so much happening right now. Anyway. These findings were from a Bright Edge report that compared Google's Search Generative Experience results, that's SGE, and Perplexity's results. Now, what the heck is Perplexity? You probably have never heard of it. It's really interesting, though. This is how Google's knowledge graph has described it, and I find that ironic. But anyway, Perplexity AI is an AI-powered research or conversational search engine that answers queries using natural language predictive text. Launched in 2022, Perplexity generates answers using the sources from the web and cites links within the text response. A few more interesting facts about this. That's the end of the quote. A few more interesting facts are it's partly backed by Jeff Bezos. What isn't, it seems, in this AI area. It's currently valued at over $1 billion. That's the most recent valuation. The interest in Perplexity, that's the overall discussion and chatter about it, grew 8,000% in the last year, according to Glimpse. Put a link in there for the show notes. And according to Search Engine Land, Perplexity has over 15 million active users now. Not bad. It is growing. I myself have downloaded it. I haven't dived into it yet. It's going to be a lot to do, and I'm afraid because I kind of get sucked into these things. Now, into what this whole article is about. 60% of citations on the AI search engine Perplexity overlap with the top 10 organic search results using search generative experience. So this seems surprising. And I'm just trying to go through the points here because it's some kind of a convoluted thing. considering that analysis found 94% of Google search generative experience links are different from its own organic results. So GSE, Google's search generative experience, is actually way different than what we're seeing right now in organic results, which is what worries a lot of people because it's supposed to be coming out in May. So how using Perplexity is a great way to see what could happen in that time. And looking at GSE results as well is a great way to see how your products, your brand, your website are going to, how they're going to actually look when all this, these changes come through. Anyway, some of the differences, though, are interesting as well. Reddit was a citation in 7 of the 9 industries they analyzed, the 2 exceptions being in healthcare and finance. In e-commerce, Perplexity and Google cited Wikipedia and Amazon, but after that, Google cited Quora and Consumer Reports, while Perplexity cited Reddit. I think we can guess which one's more accurate.
Reddit. No.
Yeah, right. Google uses its own data for reviews, ratings, location information, and business hours. However, Perplexity uses Yelp for this information. Definitely a downside, in my opinion. After all, Yelp is wildly out of date. I know almost none of my clients touch it because it's such a nightmare to use. So a lot of the content is bad. It's just plain bad. Google is utilizing its own finance portal for information, while Perplexity uses Yahoo, MarketWatch, and Barron's. This is all kind of a more advanced stuff, but if you are interested in seeing how search generative results are going to be, keeping track of this is very important. A lot of us have our livelihoods based on what's going to be happening in May. I don't believe it's going to be night and day. They're not going to switch everything in one night. That would be very bad for business. Extremely bad if you consider how much business Google does through paid ads. And they have a 99% or 97% market share. They're not going to mess with that. So it's going to be fascinating to see how they roll this out.
I think it's going to be a slow rollout. I don't think we're going to notice a lot right away, and it's just going to, you know, evolve as a lot of things do.
Exactly. They're going to just test. There's been talk about them having a different tab that you can click for more of a SG experience. And I think that's great. Listen to me. I just said SG experience. That's as bad as me saying SEO optimization, which I can't stand.
Yeah, we'll train you. Don't worry. You'll get there, Ross.
I'm not going to live that down.
Nope.
In my own mind, anyway.
I'm actually putting it on social media right now.
Anyway, lots of stuff coming. I am reading the heck out of all this, having a good time, just finding it extremely overwhelming. Because again, lots of conjecture, and you have to weed out what seems real and what isn't. Because some pretty inane people are saying what they think is going to happen, and it's way off base, in my opinion. Anywho, let's jump into some questions and comments. We have one here from one of our listeners, Ben Holbrook. He says, we are migrating our clients to a different server, and the image files will now be using an AWS S3 bucket. I'll pause there. That's the Amazon Web Service. So essentially their ecosystem for holding and storing files. Okay, back to his quote. The file names for the images will be the same, but the URL will be different because the images were previously stored locally in an uploads file for each site. Does anyone know if the URL change for the images on the new server is going to hurt SEO for the images or pages that they are on?
Probably don't need to read the next paragraph.
Yeah.
I would say yes. Essentially, URLs for images are no different than URLs for a page. And so if you're changing the URL and now it's pointing elsewhere, the original destination for that image no longer exists. So Google will, just like they would if you delete a page or change a page URL, they'll de-index that URL. Ultimately, they will find the new page, or in this case, a new image, and the indexing process will start again, and you should get some of those back. Now, the number one thing you do with a page change is kind of the same with this, is set up a 301 redirect from the old string, the old path to the new path. And, you know, it's almost as simple as that. And you should, in theory, keep those rankings without losing them, but you may still lose those rankings temporarily while Google resorts and organizes everything.
Great.
Perfect. Hopefully answer. Ross agrees with me.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely. It makes good sense. Redirects are always the safest approach. I've seen other issues, but I'm not going to jump into them. But I think that's the most straightforward way to respond to that. As you know, it always depends, right?
Everything depends. Yeah, everything.
The most common.
We could almost do two SEO 101 shows on the exact same topics with completely different answers, and they'd both be correct.
Yeah, totally.
Like a choose your own adventure.
All right. So the next one's from an anonymous member. It's all right. We don't bite. Didn't share who you are. But anyway, I have a local question. I'm building multiple pages for my services in multiple cities. It is working, but I'm aware that maintaining multiple pages with the same content can get you in trouble. So I've added a 400 to 500 word section at the bottom of every page that lists products with local flourishes added in and words otherwise rearranged. Is that enough to keep my site's health safe? Unquote. Well, why don't you rattle off your answers here and I'll chime in if I need to.
Yeah, so this is always a tough one because, you know, we've seen examples where people come in and they've got hundreds and hundreds of pages for each location, and they're all entirely identical with a find and replace for city names. And sometimes they rank exceptionally well, which they, in my opinion, maybe shouldn't. But, you know, depending on your market and your niche and how many competitors you have, you might do all right doing that. In other examples, they just don't work, period. So really what you want to do is make those pages as unique as you possibly can and as local centric, I guess, as you possibly can. So there are a few ways you can do this. It's certainly not an easy task by any means, but for each of these pages, you definitely want to discuss how your service is unique in each area. You want to highlight your services, how your services differ in each location. So I can't even think of an example offhand, but if there are differentiators between city one and city two, make sure you mention that. You want to make sure you list your local specific contact information, assuming you have different contact info for each city. You want to embed local maps, obviously, to your, if there's a brick and mortar, I don't know, or if it's just a service, it doesn't specify. You want to use location specific schema. So have each of those pages marked up with, you know, probably local business and the specific information, the specific contact info. And if you have them, include testimonials, before and afters, case studies, any kind of portfolios, photos, that kind of thing that are specific to that location. And just try to beef that up. And also, depending on where these cities are, you may want to consider hreflang tags as well. I don't think this is going to apply in this situation, but if you're crossing different countries or different languages, consider using hreflang tags to keep those separated as well. But I don't think that applies in this situation.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, it's obvious that you're wanting to make this mostly automated poster here, but you're always going to run a risk, and it's going to be more difficult if you don't have more custom stuff. Now, the beautiful thing is with AI, you can largely whip those up in seconds. So the days of having to have boilerplate across pages are gone, really. Sure, it's maybe saying the same thing, but even that's easy to fix. You could just add a few more points to the prompt in AI and you'll get a better product. So I don't know. Just be careful about the level of, I'm sorry to use the word, but laziness, because we all suffer from that occasionally, that you're feeling when you're working on this stuff, because it is going to be important to have, and it's easy to create that content. So maybe reconsider how you're doing it a bit. Okay, well, that is the end of our show. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak, thank you for joining us today. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air twice a month on WMR.fm.
Awesome. Thank you for listening, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.